Democratic and Republican.
We're going to go out and we will create more and better jobs. And we will be in a great state again.
The city council is considering whether to put a measure on the ballot.
I'm very concerned about our budget.
Governor Rick
Snyder. It's Wednesday, the morning we talk with Michigan Radio's senior news analyst, Jack Lessenberry, about what's going on in state politics. Jack, a group of state and federal environmental officials, as well as outside experts, will meet today in Flint to talk about a plan to deal with the city's water emergency. Lead is leaching out of old pipes and getting into the tap water. Last week, state officials announced a plan that includes more testing of Flint water and $1 million for the purchase of water filters for city residents. But there's been no decision on reconnecting to Detroit Water. What could we hear from this panel?
Well, I have no idea, but there's certainly a huge problem, and there's a lot of moving parts to this problem. It's very clear that Governor Snyder, to some extent, owns this. It was his emergency manager, Jerry Ambrose, who made the decision to abandon Detroit Water to save money and connect to the Flint River. He then insisted that the Flint River water was safe. Ambrose is long gone. There's a real question, too, about Mayor Dwayne Walling, who's running for re-election, what he knew and when he knew it. He denied knowing about or being involved in this decision, although others say something to the contrary. But the real problem is that people in Flint are paying three times what other people pay for water that is really bad. And the question that nobody has really answered is, if they switched back to Detroit Water, would that eliminate the lead problem? They believe that the water from the Flint River is so corroded it's caused this lead to leach out, but if you switched back to better water, would the problem stop? It's been proven that children, infants and small children, are suffering lead poisoning that causes brain damage. It's irreversible, and people ought to be asking, I would think, what the social cost of this is.
Michigan State University faces a deadline at the end of the month to release the names of student athletes who were suspects in criminal cases. MSU is asking the state Supreme Court for a reprieve. MSU was sued by ESPN for redacting the names from incident reports where student athletes were listed as suspects. MSU says it does not have to release the names unless someone is actually charged with a crime. ESPN says it wants to know if student athletes get special treatment from the university and law enforcement. What's at the heart of this case?
Well, there's a couple of different interesting issues here. The right to know is one thing. It seems to me very likely that the Supreme Court will uphold the rulings of the courts beneath it. The appeals court decided unanimously ESPN had a right to these names. But there's sort of a gray area in that if these people had been charged, there'd be no question whatsoever, but they're listed as suspects. They haven't been accused of anything. Now, it's not clear that ESPN wants to publish these names. I would contend they probably shouldn't, but they've been doing the study on student athletes, whether they get preferential treatment. So far, ESPN's research indicates they don't get preferential treatment, but it's worth looking at. But my guess will be that the names will have to be released.
And finally, Jack, Grace Lee Boggs died Monday in Detroit at the age of 100. She was influential in many social movements. How will her legacy live on?
Well, she was an amazing person who 40 years ago was seen as by the FBI and lots of other people as a dangerous radical, and then sort of became an icon. I knew her fairly well. I used to go and sit and talk with her in her living room and about various issues. But her autobiography, which is a very wonderful book, is called Living for Change. And the one thing she stood for at the end of the day was she would say that we can't look to leaders to make changes for us. We have to be the change. And I think people will remember that and remember this amazing, thoughtful woman who was a second-generation Chinese-American, came to Detroit, lived in the black community, and went on fighting to make things better on the micro level for a century.
All right, Jack, as always, thanks a lot.
Have a nice day.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's senior news analyst.